Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Good evening to you, and welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, it is wonderful to be back with you for another Tuesday for another episode of Untapped Potential. This is where we stop by every week to get powered up and energized for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves, to kind of look at that checklist and see how we are doing with those life goals, what we can get crossed out this week, that phone call, that email that you need to send to get your goals going for this week. So welcome to the program. It is always great to be back with you on Untapped Potential on TDN Radio. You know, we always like to start the program off on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? Always so important to be grateful for life, especially when we hear of the recent passing of our beloved Fidina Frampton. Yes, it is still quite unbelievable to hear of Fidina's passing. I actually went to the Dominica Civil Call, which is now the Dominica State College, with Fidina. So she has been a friend of mine since the 1990s. And you know, the personality that we saw, that infectious personality that Fidina had when she died, is the same personality we enjoyed with her back in college. So, you know, she was a consistently happy, jovial person, and she will be surely missed. So, speaking of which, I wanted to bring you an interview I did with her back in 2021, because I think it is so important to preserve the memories of those who have given selflessly, that I want to be sure that we replay this interview of Fidina from 2021, as we talked about women in leadership, the pros and the cons, the advantages, the challenges. So I'm going to bring you that interview, and I want to bring most of the interview to you today. We only have 1 hour on this program, so I won't be able to play the entire thing, but you can always listen to the rest of the interview. I think I'll play about maybe 45 minutes or so, and the interview is about 1 hour and 10 minutes. So if you would like to hear the rest of the interview, you can always jump on my YouTube channel at Push Past 10, is PUSHPAST10 on YouTube, and the same on Facebook if you want to hear the rest of this interview. And if you want to see Fidina for one more time, of course, we have the video of that interview as well. So again, we want to make sure that we honor her memory. So the program pretty much today is going to be most of the interview of Fidina Frampton. And I know I talked about bringing more of the calypsos to you from this week, but this is such a somber time as we reflect on the life of Fidina that I think I will bring you the calypsos, the 2024 calypsos from Dominica. I will bring that to you from next week. So as we get started, let us enjoy this number from Etana. Let's take a little somber song instead. This song from Etana, I Rise, as folks like Fidina remind us to continue to rise. eyes. Continue to shine. Don't let the world sway who we are. Don't let the world determine what emotions we will have today. But continue to rise, knowing that you are doing your best and knowing that you are light to the world around you. So let's enjoy this number from Etana, a song entitled I Rise, and then we will bring you most of the interview for Dinah Frampton. So stay tuned.
Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com. or call 877-698-9894.
Good evening to all the viewers, all the listeners of the program. It is such a pleasure to do this with you this evening.
Yes, and of course, we're going to go ahead and make sure we're sharing the link to the program. So let me grab that for you as we say good evening to Roslyn. We say good evening to Glenda and Beverly. So guys, don't forget to tag everyone as we come in. So let me grab the link for this program and let me pass it over to Dinah so that she can go ahead and share it with everyone. And Fadina, I'm going to send it to you via WhatsApp. And then we can continue the great conversation we're going to have today. So how is everyone doing? How is your week going? I hope you had a great week and that your weekend is going just as well. So come on in, remember to tag someone and remember to share the live. So Fadina, I just sent it to you. If you want to go ahead and forward it to everyone on your end who we know would love to be able to be a part of this conversation as well.
I'm going to do that as we speak. So if
I'll give you a minute to do that while I continue to say good evening to our wonderful audience. We have Idris, we have Dennis, we have Roslyn again, Sandra. So hi, guys. Thank you for being here. We're going to have a great conversation. And of course, we're not going to exclude the men from this conversation. I know that it says women in leadership, but of course, we're going to make sure that we're including the men in the conversation. So come on in, guys. Come on in. We're just setting up. We are getting ready for the conversation. Tanya Green, oh, a phenomenal woman. Thank you for being here. So, you know, we need to get Tanya on the program because she made a complete 180. She went from corporate America to creating her own treats, Dominica Treats Company. So, Tanya, congratulations on all your success. And hopefully we can have you join us one day to be on the program. So as we get started, Fadina, kind of just tell us, how is Dominica? I hear it's really hot out there.
Last night it was so very hot, but you know what, we complain when it's cold, we complain when it's hot. For me, I prefer when it's a little cool and cold. I prefer that over the hot every single day. But it's quite hot in Dominica, but of course Dominica is as beautiful and tranquil as we know it to be. And you know, it's my country. I love my country, and I will always continue to be Dominican to the bone.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. And of course, we go all the way back to our days at Sifocol. We won't say what year that was.
No. Some people have tried to sell us out, you know, a few times, sell me out a few times, but you know.
Yes, we go all the way back to our days at Sifocol. And Fadina, I don't know if you know this, but we share a niece in common, Bernard Frampton, and my sister Susan have a daughter by the name of Minka Frampton. That's my niece.
I did not know that, Simone.
Yes, yes.
We're learning.
So we share, and she's such a wonderful and beautiful young lady. I'm so proud of her.
She's doing her thing.
So I thought you might be interested in knowing that there's a connection between us. Don't get me claiming family for Dinah.
No. Well, you know, let's connect.
But anyway, as we begin our conversation, just kind of take us back to your formative years. I know that you spent a lot of time growing up in Pichler, Loubière, Pointe-Michel. Just kind of tell us how those formative years led to the person that you are today.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you ask me about my formative years, because I don't think I settled in any one place for a very long time until I finally went to Pointe-Michel the second time to live with my father and my stepmom. So I went from Loubière, Pichler, Pointe-Michel, back to Pichler. You know, it was a little quite a bit for me, but all the same. From Pichler, I would probably single out my grandmother. I stayed with my grandmother in Pichler, and I think my grandmother was a little strict old lady, and I was probably about 9, 10 at the time I stayed with her. I think I stayed with her for about 2 years. And don't talk to boys, you know. I couldn't talk to boys, you know. My grandmother wouldn't have that. But one of the things that my grandmother taught me very early on was responsibility, in terms of understanding what it is to take on your chores. My grandmother would bring me to the river to wash the clothes. You know, that's where, you know, you could go to do laundry. So, you know, I'd be in the river, you know, washing my clothes with my granny. She would give us a little Mac cafe in the morning, so they would take the stronger version for themselves. But she would give us all a little bit of our Mac cafe. So for me, the Pishla bit was a learning bit for me. And just spending some time in the countryside, although Pishla is not so much country, it's so much different from, you know, being in Point Michel or Lubia, for example. But I enjoyed that part of my time in Pishla with my granny. Lubia, the time I spent in Lubia was primarily with my mother at one point in time. Now, my mother was quite the fashionista. My mother, we would always see my mother in her suits, her pantsuits, and she would always be at the hairdresser. And my mother loved red lipstick. She did, and I love red lipstick. So, you know, whatever little fashion sense I have, you know, it really started with my mother. She would iron my hair every weekend and always ensure that I look clean and pretty. So for me, from my mother's end, that would have been just learning what it is to be feminine. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, always look pretty, always have your hair done, always looking good and always smelling good. Mm-hmm. Then the last place I would have moved to would have been Point Michel with my father and my stepmother after having passed my common entrance from Pishley. So that's where I passed common entrance from. And my Point Michel upbringing is somewhat one of mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this to you, though, that it is in that setting that I really learned to do a lot of the things that I know to do. And I'm speaking about being able to cook, being able to clean, you know. Probably we thought at the time, you know, my stepmother was probably being mean by having us do the cleaning every weekend, the ironing, you know, the cooking. So myself and my stepsister Gail would interchange the cooking on a weekend. One would do Sunday, one would do Saturday, and so on. So I really think, and talk about being strict, my grandmother couldn't come close to my father and my stepmom.
Wow.
In terms of, being very protective of especially the girls, you know. We would think that probably the boys got away with murder while, you know, we were always the ones where we would be told, you cannot go there or you cannot do this. And, you know, we really, really had a strict upbringing with my parents in Point Michel, my father and my stepmom. But I'll tell you overall, Simone, I think every experience, the one with my mom, the one with my grandmother, you know, I even said with an aunt of mine at one point in time, I think they all together taught me so much that I think I became much stronger for it all in terms of dealing with life and life's daily challenges. So overall, I think, you know, my upbringing challenging at times, but I think overall a good experience and learning opportunity for me.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I think a lot of us can identify with you in terms of having that very strict upbringing, especially the girls, I have to say, because I grew up in a household with, you know, boys and girls as well. And it always seemed like the boys had so much more freedom to roam. But I guess the concern was always, you know, we as girls, we would go out and get pregnant. Like the boys couldn't get somebody's girl pregnant, right? I never quite understood it. But I think that was one of the concerns, that they wanted to keep us at home to make sure. And then, you know, being at home, what did we end up doing? We ended up studying.
Yes.
So I think that led to a lot
of doing better than the boys.
Being successful as girls. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I know you speak very highly of your dad. So I want to talk a little bit about him and especially how he encouraged you to pursue your first job of being on Voice of Life. So can you just tell us about that and tell us about how you found your footing when you were thrusted into the environment of having to host the radio show on Sunday all by yourself?
I think my father, for some reason, wanted at least one or two of his children to follow in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. My father at the time had left a job where he was doing pretty well. We had no concerns for money, for food, for nothing, and went back into broadcasting where, you know, it became a bit of a struggle, I guess, at some point in time. But he loved it so much. And he really wanted at least one or two of his children to grow up and you know, get into the field of broadcasting. So at the age of 16, I was at the time at CFOCall. And my father, 16 going on 17, my father at the time was the program director at the recently opened Voice of the Islands radio. And my father... one gentleman was leaving. I don't recall if it was Father Sharpless or somebody else was leaving at the time. And they needed somebody to do some weekend shifts, long shifts, 5-6 hours.
Wow.
And my father did ask me if, you know, I would be interested in doing it. And of course, my response was not really. I really was not interested in it at the time. And I will give some credit to my stepmom. You know, she really encouraged me and told me that, you know, probably you should think about it, you know, give it a shot and see what can come out of it. And eventually I did. I agreed. I consented. And then I started doing those weekend shifts on a Saturday and a Sunday. Quite frankly, I thought that my weekend time was being taken away from me. But, you know, mm-hmm. I really didn't want to disappoint my father. And so I decided that I should do the programs. And my father would take his time and go through the records and select some of the favorites that he thought people would enjoy on a Sunday afternoon. Keep in mind, this is something that he did for many years as well, Sunday afternoon in particular. And my father would take his time and he would carry up all the records upstairs for me to the studio. And all I would have to do is turn to the back. And at that time, it was the turntables. Mm-hmm. Turn at the back of the record and look at the ones that are ticked and play them. And, you know, you would think, here is a 16-year-old playing that type of music. How could she? But it was really all due to my father, who would really dedicate his time to ensuring that I had the right music, you know, that would attract the audience, the persons who would listen to the oldie gold, as it was on a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I did that for quite a while, and I got to enjoy it. And that's why today I know all about the Tom Joneses and the Engelbert Humperdincks and the Marvin Gayes, you know, and all of that good stuff, the Carpenters and all the rest.
Yeah, would you say that it taught you to be independent at an early age as well, to stand on your own two feet?
Absolutely, Simone, because guess what? They paid me. Mm-hmm. I got a little something, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the month that I would put on a savings account and mm-hmm. used to get, you know, the little things that I needed. So that was really an early introduction into being somewhat independent, responsible as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I know, unfortunately, Voice of Life went under, unfortunately. Voice of the Islands went under. And then you moved over to the Chronicle, where you had a not so favorable experience. Can you tell us about that?
I can definitely share that with you and your audience, Simone. So when Voice of the Islands was closing, I actually got a call from the Chronicle. So they called and offered me a job, asked me to come in to see them. And I did. Now, the person that I had to see was the editor at the time, who was a Guyanese gentleman, Mr. Osmond. And I remember going in to speak with Mr. Osmond, and Mr. Osmond says to me, you know, I do not like hiring females.
He said that to you.
He did. And I was a bit taken aback. Like, what do you mean that you're not keen on you know, hiring females? To be honest with you, I can't remember the reasoning that he gave me at the time, Simone. But by the time he was done with me, because, you know, I am known to have what you call an infectious personality.
Yes, well, you do.
He really was happy to hire that female. And mm-hmm. I had a very good relationship with Mr. Osmond. Mr. Osmond was a very good editor. And what he did as well, Simone, he gave me leeway to do as I wanted. So I would go to report, to cover a story. I would come back, do whatever. And he would have me leave and go home probably about 2 o'clock. I'm telling you, nice. Mr. Osmond and I developed such a wonderful relationship that, you know, sometimes I wondered, is that the same gentleman who said he was not interested in hiring females? Yeah. And there it is, you know. So at the time, you know, I was wondering, you know, why would he even say that to me? I was pretty young, you know, still in my teens at the time. So I was pretty young, and I could not understand why somebody would say that to a young woman, you know, just merely entering into the world of work. And this is the first impression that she's having in terms of, not wanting to hire females.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it seems like you experience what some women experience very, very early in your career, that pushback, that at least he said it to you, but many times it's kind of like clandestine where people don't really appreciate working with women, but they keep their opinion to themselves, but you can see it in their action. So at any point, did you feel like you had to prove him wrong and show him that as a woman, you're just as competent as the male colleagues at the News Chronicle?
So as I mentioned before, we developed such a great relationship mm-hmm. that I didn't think that I had to really prove anything to Mr. Osman. And mm-hmm. I don't think that I even had the time to, because I think right. within 6 months I was gone.
Oh, you were gone and you moved over to DBS.
Correct.
DBS Radio. Tell us about that.
Again, you know, another opportunity came up at DBS Radio. I think they were looking for an announcer reporter at the time. And I won't hesitate to say that my father was the general manager at the time at Voice of the Islands Radio. But I think, you know, I was very deserving of the job. I don't know if my father had any influence in me getting the job. A person might say, well, if your father was the general manager, then chances are he said, you know, my daughter is the one to hire. But he had no part to do with the interviews. It was Charmaine Green-Brown, Miss Caesar, and I don't remember who maybe Felix Henderson. I don't really remember who the other person was. Mm-hmm. And I think I represented myself well, because Simon, what you will learn about me as we go through the interview is that I like to prepare. So mm-hmm. I would go prepared for the interview, and I thought that I did well at the interview, and I got selected for the job. And I think over the years that I, and during my time, the 9 years that I spent at DBS Radio, I think I more than proved that I was, you know, the right choice for the job at the time, because, you know, I really left my mark, I believe, at that radio station.
Yeah, and I want you to share with us some of your most memorable experiences in those 9 years at DBS. But before we do, we have another media colleague on the live with us, Nicole Georges, and she says, I've always admired how she's able to think on her feet and ad lib. She's got the gift of la parole. Thank you, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes, yeah, certainly.
In media and broadcasting, you have to be able to do that. Yes. You have to be able to just figure it out right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think for me, again, as I've said before, because it came naturally, mm-hmm. broadcasting is something that came very naturally to me mm-hmm. because of my father again, I think, yes. you know. I've never really done any formal training in broadcasting. I've done some trainings here, 3 months training in the Netherlands. You know, I went to Ecuador. I went to a few places where I did some training. I didn't even do the 1 year that they would sometimes do at UWE, you know, for media. But because it came to me naturally, I think I just fell into place with media. And when the need arose, you know, I would do what I need to do to get out of trouble, or to, you know, do whatever needed to
navigate the waters. Yeah,
navigate
absolutely.
The waters. That's
yes,
it. That's
yes. it. Yes. So some of your favorite memories from DBS.
Boy, DBS has so many memories, you know. I think one of the very first ones that I can share is that the very first day that I got to DBS, Angelo Allen was the news editor. I was sent to present news, 115 News, that very same day.
Wow.
Yes, baptismal by fire, you call
by fire.
But thank God I had already had some news presenting experience at Voice of the Islands Radio mm-hmm. through Matt Peltier. Matt Peltier was, you know, doing news at the time at Voice of the Islands Radio. So I already had experience with news presenting. But on that day in question, I am given the news package. I don't even know how you start to present or anything.
So say your name.
DBS has these two heavy doors, and one is opened, and I'm stuck in the other one, and I'm like frozen, and I cannot make my way to the studio to go and present the people's news. Wow. Then Angelo comes. Ferdinand, by the way, Angelo Allen, for those of you who don't know, is the one who actually gave me the nickname Ferdinand. Mm-hmm. Ferdinand, you know, what you doing? Come on, go. And he literally pushed me in to go into the studio. And that was the first day that I presented news at DBS Radio. And of course, after that, it all came very natural. I guess I was a little nervous, you know. It was a nation station. I mean, come on, you're going to present the 115 total
news. Absolutely, that's a big deal.
When you hear that introduction by Steinberg Henry, yes. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. So I really was, in fact, quite a bit nervous about going in to do the news presentation. Mm-hmm. A couple other things. I at one time assisted with the writing and even presenting of the 100 Great Dominicans series that DBS introduced. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that have that made an impact on me was a program I did on Dr. Bernard Sorrendo. When I say I did, I wrote the program. It was presented by Shemaine Greenbrown. And I don't remember who the production person was at the time, but it could have been me because I also did the production as well. Or Jermaine Roig might have done the production. Mm-hmm. And that program won an award in the region. Wow. I don't really remember the details of the award, but we won an award, and the award is still at DBS, and we also got some money, you know. So that for me was, you know, if I could write something that the region within, I think it might have been CBU or somewhere, that they could recognize the work and it could win among other programs, I thought, oh my God, you're not too bad at all, you know. And some of the other things, they were not, some of them were not possibly happy times in terms of the passing of Rosie Douglas, the passing of Pierre Charles. These were really huge moments, you know, at least for me, in having to broadcast and be part of all of it, you know. Those for me, I definitely will not forget. And so many other amazing experiences I had at DBS Radio. I mean, I cannot say anything terrible about DBS Radio. I think DBS Radio laid the foundation for me to be where I am today. Sorry. And I will never forget DBS Radio. Of course, there were times that there would have been some not so good times, whether for politics or whatever the case might have been, because people thought, you know, my father is on this side, so I'm on that side, right, or this side. And, you know, probably a little intimidation here and there. But overall, I enjoyed my 9 years at DBS Radio, and I would not trade it for anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell. And of course, you also mentioned the importance of being prepared. So I want us to look at that further. But, you know, the accolades are coming in, and we have Glenda that says, Ferdinand always knows how to make her nervous guests comfortable during her interviews. And I'm happy to see as well, Alex Bruno is on the live. Oh, and he says, what is that? Fefeyo, my sister. That must be a name. Fefeyo. Oh, that's a name between you guys. My sister and colleague for life, keep climbing, for Dinah Frampton, daughter of Ferdinand Frampton.
Simone, if you will allow me, you know, I really want to just take a second there and really give some tribute and some credit and recognition to Alex Bruno. I think Alex Bruno is one of the major talents that we have. He does not reside in Dominica right now. He resides outside of Dominica. But I think Alex is very creative. Alex is bright. Alex is intelligent. And Alex, you know, serves, I think, as a mentor to me, because I will tell you, there are times that with my In the Spotlight radio show, depending on the guest that I'm having, I reach out to Alex and I would say to Alex, you know, I'm having this person. Is there anything that you think you could share with me that I may need to know about the person and so on? And I want him to know this evening that I do appreciate him, and I appreciate that he's always there willing to support me and to give me feedback, or, you know, just to embrace me whenever I reach out to him.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I think a lot of us can attest to what you're saying about Alex, because I too have been the recipient of his generosity, because he's the one behind my Sasenu program.
Oh.
So he's the one who holds up the program every week. I'm like, Alex, are we on? He's like, Simone, I made a commitment to you. You don't need to ask me every other week if we're on. Just assume that I'm going to be there. So I too have been the beneficiary of his generosity. So Alex, we want to both commend you for being so supportive. So now let's talk about the importance of being prepared, because like every good thing, in life, the radio career came to an end, and you were moving on to cable and wireless. So just kind of tell us how you prepared for the interview, and let's just speak about the importance of being prepared in general.
So important. So while at DBS, in May of 2005, I think it was, or April, I got a call from two persons at Cable Wireless saying to me that there is going to be an opening. One of the persons who actually called me was the one who was moving from that particular position, and it was a corporate communications executive. And the job was not offered to me by HR or management. It was just a couple of people who were aware. So you're talking about James Dominic, Deanna Noel, these persons who were aware of what was coming on, because Deanna Noel actually was the person who was moving on to another role. And so they called me and told me about the position and that I should apply. Now, I'll tell you secretly, you know, I always had a desire to work at Cable and Wireless. I always thought that they wore the nicest uniforms. The company seemed so, you know, all together. And, you know, it was the envy of places to work. But I always said to myself, you know, I'm into broadcasting, I'm into media. I don't think that I'll ever get an opportunity to work at Cable and Wireless. So lo and behold, then I'm being told about the corporate communications executive position. And I said, absolutely. And so I applied, and I think it was me and three other persons who were contesting for that particular role. But I'll tell you, Simone, when I knew I had to go into that interview, I started to prepare. Preparation is the key. It is very, very important. What I did, Simone, I started to gather my reference letters, you know, letters that I got at DBS, you know, for doing good work and all of that. I had also at one point in time done an ad for Cable and Wireless when they were doing their BMW promotion. So I was one of those people who appeared, I think, in either a half page or a full page ad in a newspaper talking about gotta get those keys. You know? So, and I had my cutout of that. I had a full file of everything that I needed for that interview. And I walked with my file, right? Mm-hmm. I made sure that I had to look the part. So it's important to look the part.
Yes.
I had a suit made.
Mm-hmm. You had a suit made.
I had a suit made for my interview, my dear. I had a suit made. I got my hair done. And I made sure that I think I may have worn red lipstick, which I probably should not have, because you don't wear red lipstick
to an interview. No, that's a no-no.
But I knew
you're channeling your mom.
But I wanted, for whatever reason, I wanted my red lipstick. Mm-hmm. And I went into the interview prepared. I read up on the company. I researched the company. Any question that they would have asked me about Cable and Wireless at that time, I mean, general, generic questions, I would have been able to answer. If they asked me to produce my documents, you know, references and everything, I had everything ready for that interview. And I think I blew the interview out of the water. The other thing is that the general manager at the time, Colin James, sat in on my interview only, if I recall. And I remember him being told that he said, that's the person for the job. Yes. So the general manager, it wasn't his decision to make, you know, quite frankly, HR, I think, made the decisions at the time, of course, with his input. But I understood that once he was part of my interview, he said, this is the person we're going to give a chance, an opportunity with that job. There was a little something that happened in the process of being informed about the job and then getting another call. Yeah. But all I'll say is that, you know, I went in, I think I blew them away. I came prepared. Mm-hmm. And Simone, just to make the point again, being prepared is important. Mm-hmm. Looking the part, dressing Absolutely. The part, making that very important first impression. Mm-hmm. You really need to consider that when you're going in for job interviews, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, prepare coming to your interview this evening. Yes. I yes. gave you the story about my hair situation, but it was beyond my control. You understand? But yet still, you know, I made every effort to prepare. Yes. To present myself well on your program here today.
And I have to tell you, Fadina, the importance of doing that research, because I think many times that is where you tip yourself on the scale, because people come in, they will answer the questions. But if you have not researched the company, even researched the person who is going to interview you, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is available. Everyone, all professionals I know, they're on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So simply researching the person to give yourself that edge is very important. Yep. And you know, with all the career choices that you've made, I also want to talk about the importance of transferable skills. Mm-hmm. But before I do, I just want to say good evening to everyone who's on the Facebook Live with us. And just to remind you that we're speaking to Ms. Fadina Frampton out of Dominica. She's the Marketing and Corporate Communication Lead at Cable and Wireless Flow Dominica, and she's also the host of the In the Spotlight radio show on Q95. And today we're having a wonderful conversation on the importance of women in leadership and just leadership in general, and how do you prepare to ascend in the corporate environment or any field that you're pursuing. So Fadina, can you tell us about some transferable skills that you may have applied from your very first job when you were 16 to the Chronicle to DBS that you brought with you to Cable and Wireless Flow?
Very important. One of my skills is my ability to speak and to speak properly, as you may want to say. So that started off for me at Voice of the Islands Radio, and that transcended through the Chronicle. The Chronicle, though, was more about writing. So for me, the two key things was the ability to be able to speak eloquently, and to be able to present and represent yourself, and whether it be the company, a product, or whatever the case might be, and the ability to write. Writing is very, very important. So at Voice of the Islands Radio, I began being able to present by presenting the news and even writing the news and being on the radio and just having this interaction with your audience, even if you're not able to see your audience. That is a skill, and that is important. So then I got to DBS. And as I said, you know, again, DBS really helped this foundation. I did so many things at DBS. I wrote news. I presented news. I wrote sports. I presented sports. I hosted talk shows. I presented programs. I wrote programs. I did outside broadcasts. I just name it. And I was an all-rounder at DBS. And these skills are skills that in many instances you attain naturally, and some you learn and some you hone so that you get better at it. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to Cable and Wireless, the role was a corporate communications executive, which literally meant that you were responsible for communicating to both internal stakeholders and to external stakeholders, and you required the ability to be able to communicate with people in an effective mm-hmm. manner, both verbally and in writing. You would be required to write press releases. You would be required to chair functions. And I just think those skills that I learned and acquired over those years just made fitting into this role at Cable & Wireless so much easier. And it was almost like I wasn't, you know, working a day in my life, because mm-hmm. I just thoroughly enjoyed what I did in terms of when I started as a corporate communications executive. I really and truly enjoyed it.
Yes, and I'm so happy we're having this conversation, because there might be someone out there who's thinking of making a career change, and they've already convinced themselves that they do not have the skill set for that particular job. So you speak so very nicely about the ability to take certain skills
yes.
from one particular job and apply them to a new career. So I'm certainly appreciative that you're sharing this information.
Absolutely, you're most welcome.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now, would you say that as a woman in corporate, well, the Caribbean, I was gonna say corporate America, but in the Caribbean, do you say, think there are unique skill sets that we possess as women that serve as opportunities for success?
Mm-hmm. I think by nature, women are maternal beings. Mm-hmm. And what comes with that, Simone? Mm-hmm. What comes with that is caring, mm-hmm. nurturing, you know, looking out for others. I think this is one of the things that women naturally bring into the business place. Those maternal instincts that you have and those experiences, I think it makes for a very conducive working environment when you have women in there. Now, I am not a mother myself as yet, but I know what it is to feel the effects of a mother. And there are women who can bring that into the workplace and make it so much easier for some of us to be able to cope in the workplace. I think by nature, women are very helpful. Women are very helpful. And so, you know, we bring that into the workplace as well in terms of helping each other. So Fadina is not able to do, and I'm speaking from my point of view, it may not obtain for all women, but I think generally speaking, mm-hmm. you know, so Simone may need some help with an Excel spreadsheet. Fadina is mm-hmm. good at it. Fadina knows that if Simone does not get this spreadsheet done by a certain time, she could get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Simone asks for help. Fadina will help.
Absolutely, because right. when Fadina needs help, Simone is going to jump in.
Mm-hmm. And by nature as well, Simone, I think women are great leaders. Mm-hmm. I think we know what it is to lead people and to take this leadership umbrella and to help others. Women are known to be fair. And I just see all of this, you know, we can mm-hmm. bring into the workplace and make the workplace such a much more beautiful place to work. I don't know mm-hmm. if you've had those kinds of experiences with women, or if you yourself can probably relate to some of those. We are emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. You know what it is like to understand and manage our emotions, and at the same time to understand and manage the emotions of others and to influence how they deal with their emotions. So mm-hmm. I think generally, you know, and women should be given a little bit more credit for that. I know sometimes you might say, well, with women in a workplace, it's a lot of gossiping, and you know, and there will be that as well. But if you look at the bigger picture of women and the contribution that they make to the workplace, we are intelligent, we inspire others, we motivate others, we are helpful, and we are great leaders if given mm-hmm. the opportunity to lead.
Yes, very well said. And if I might just add if I might just make a contribution to what you've already said, I think we're also natural multitaskers.
Yes.
And I think, I'm not sure if that is inherited, if it's genetics, or if it's because, like, for example, in my case, I watched my mom cook, clean. I had a nephew who was learning to walk. He was attached to her dress, walking around the house. So I'm not sure if we learn it from watching our mothers do so many different things at home, or is it part of our genes? But we are natural multitaskers, you know? So I think that too can serve as a very important strength mm-hmm. that we bring to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
We are definitely assets.
Yes, thank you for sharing. And I know, again, you speak very highly of your dad, but can you tell us about some mentors along the way who have, you know, helped you in your career to date?
No, they're not women.
Most doesn't of my have to be.
Are men.
Yes, and again, doesn't have to be. And that's important.
Starting with my father.
Yes.
So my father, I think, was my biggest mentor. And, you know, he helped me so much along the way. And I think probably it's because he told me from the time I was a baby, he would bring me to sleep in the studios of DBS while he's there. Yes, he would put a blanket on the floor of the studios and he would have me there. And I think my father was always one who looked out for me and wanted me to do well and wanted me to excel. I had the natural talent, I had the natural skill, but my father was always there, you know, pushing me. Steinberg Henry is another person, you know, who would always provide support, even today. Even today, a few weeks ago, you know, I had a chat with Steinberg, and Steinberg would probably listen to one of my programs on the radio. He would call me and give me some feedback. And he was my sociology teacher, too.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was my sociology teacher at TIFO Call as well. So Steinberg is one of those that, you know, that touch base. And again, I mentioned Alex Bruno. Alex Bruno really does give me so much encouragement, even in my role at Cable and Wireless, you know, sometimes totally outside of broadcasting, you know, Alex Bruno has been there. And I've lost both my mother and my father. So, you know, I'm technically an orphan, but there's so many women, older women who reach out to me and ensure that I'm okay. They may not necessarily provide the type of mentorship that I need in the workplace where media is concerned, but just people who reach out to me and show me so much love. Romalda Hyacinth, Natalie Simon, Iris James, you know, so many of them that just make sure that although my mother is gone, that I still have mother figures, you know, who continue to care for me and look out for me. But most of my mentors where the workplace is concerned, and James Dominic, I must mention James Dominic, because when I went into Cable and Wireless, James Dominic was my manager at the time. And there was so much James taught me where corporate communications was concerned, to the smallest things, like, you know, when we're having a media function, ensure that the GM is not wearing a colorful shirt, make sure that he's not wearing this tie. And, you know, James Dominic was one of the persons who taught me so much. And I'm so grateful to all of these people. And some I may not have been able to mention, but so many of them have been there for me, have been encouraging me. And, you know, even at the times when, you know, I've been probably a little down about something, you know, these are all people that I can call and have a conversation depending on the subject matter and feel better when I'm done.
Yes, and I'm truly happy we're having this conversation, because I think what happens is many times we see successful people like you and we don't realize that there are people who are supporting you. You're not doing this on your own, and we too are not expected to do this on our own, because there's the popular expression that no man is an island. But even now with St. Vincent, we realize that even if you're an island, you still need neighboring islands.
Yep.
So we all need each other. So what can we do to make a contribution to someone else's success and in turn have them make a contribution to our success? Mm-hmm. And I'm also happy that you mentioned women in the workplace, because unfortunately I hear a lot about women don't support women. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so unfortunate. So can you speak a little bit about that? Has that been your experience in general, that you receive more support from men, or it's equal footing?
No, it's definitely not equal footing. I definitely receive greater support from men, generally speaking. What I will tell you, though, Simone, is that especially because of the role that I hold at Cable and Wireless, I tend to have a good relationship with just about everyone. It is important for me to be able to do that, because as the person who speaks to the internal, who communicates to the internal stakeholders, you have to be able to call up someone and say, hey, I need some support with that, or hey, I need I need you not to do this, or I need you to if you continue doing that, it affects others. You know, I need to be able to have, and I think that I have that kind of relationship with everyone at Cable and Wireless where I work, maybe stronger relationships in some areas, but I do not know somebody, for example, in the workplace that I would say that I do not have a good relationship with. Mm-hmm. The challenge that I have with women sometimes is that, and not only in the workplace, but even outside of the workplace, a lot of times we try to undermine each other. And that for me is something that I sometimes take very hard. Mm-hmm. Why try to undermine what I'm doing, especially if you possibly may be doing something similar? Mm-hmm. Don't try to do that. It's not going to benefit you. You think it will benefit you, but it is not going to benefit you. There are so many ways that women can work together, even if you're doing something in the same area. Look at you, Simone. Look at you. You realize what happened with us?
Yes.
So I saw Push Past 10 in my feed, and I said, but I like the page. Then Simone is in my inbox, and Simone says, Fernanda, thank you for liking. I saw you like my page. Thank you for liking. Uh-huh. And I said, you're most welcome. And then I'm like, but we're not even friends on Facebook. What's up with that? You know? And since then, we've become friends. I actually, a space became available because I was at my max of friends. So at one point, I came and I said, I was 4999. I said, okay. I messaged Simone and I said, listen, I have an opening. What? Oh my goodness. I sent you a friend request. Please accept it, which you did. And then you've been there supporting each other, you know, in whatever the case might be. And mm-hmm. that is the kind of support that we need to give mm-hmm. to each other on the workplace. There is nothing that you're going to gain by running and rat me to the boss because you're trying mm-hmm. to find favor with the boss. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it will come back to bite you. You know where, you understand? Mm-hmm. So it does not make sense. Why? You know, I don't try to undermine anyone. In fact, you know, sometimes if I see an opportunity for someone else, there was a time that I didn't do ads anymore when I started working at Cable and Wireless, and I would pass them on to other people. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I'm sorry, I don't really do ads right now. So however, I know this person would do a good job for you. And I would pass it over. I'm not going to say, well, you know, you figure it out. No, you make a recommendation. So it's really just about us. I'm not saying that you have to come and clap for me all the time, every time or whatever it is. But do not, if you're not clapping for me, mm-hmm. it's okay. But do not try to undermine me.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And I'm so happy you shared that experience, that example for Diana of us connecting, because I too have had experience in other fields where women would try to undermine me and undermine what I'm trying to do. But I have to say, for some reason, since I stepped into the arena of media, I have been so embraced by you, by JL Joseph, by Nicole Georges Bennett, and especially Nicole, because Nicole stepped to the front. She created the commercial to promote untapped potential for me. She's the voice on my program that says, you're listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. And she will just randomly send me a message after an interview to say, great job, Simone. I really enjoyed that interview. So I'm guessing that one of the reasons that the women in media, most of them, I can't say all, but most of them, I'm guessing that the reason that they're not threatened by somebody else stepping into the arena is because you're so naturally confident. To be in media as a woman, you have to be so confident in your ability that having someone else step in, it's not a threat to you.
It shouldn't matter. And again, I will make reference to a conversation that we had just before we started the show. Yes. And you were asking me if I was not going to go, you know, online. And I was explaining to you why, the reason why, you know, I want to remain radio, but stream out anyway.
Yes.
To think. And then I said to you, but you are there. You do the, the online version. Because, I mean,
You know, and I think what it is, we have to learn to think in terms of abundance, in terms of scarce, or instead of scarcity. Because I think what ends up happening is that we think, oh, you know, she's going to come and take my thing. Or if it's a man, he's going to come and take my thing. Because we're thinking scarcity. Dominica is not just 60,000 people in Dominica, you know. It's 60,000 people in Dominica, about 150 in the diaspora, and everybody else who loves Dominica. So I want us to think in terms of abundance. There's so much abundance out there. There's enough abundance for you to get your piece of the pie, for me to get my piece of the pie, and for us to help each other to just get the whole damn pie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's a mentality.
Earlier on, I was saying I have somebody that I want to recommend to you as a guest. I don't know if the person would, you know, would consent, but, you know, there's someone that I have. So at the end of the day, there is no need for a competition. There shouldn't really be any competition among, whether it be in the media, whether it be within the corporate environment. You know, we all work and we achieve. You do your thing, I do my thing, and then we all together do it for the good of the people who love us, admire us, appreciate us in terms of what we do.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm so happy we're having this conversation. And Nicole chimed in. She said, excellence should always be commended and encouraged.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Listening to an interview that I did with Fadina Frampton back in April of 2021. And as you can tell, she was just so vibrant, so full of life that she will certainly be missed, especially on her own radio program In the Spotlight, which would come on every Monday night. And I looked forward to that program every Monday night because I always knew that she would have an interesting guest, somebody from Dominica who had done very well and who would serve as an inspiration to the rest of us. So that program will be surely missed. And for Diana, for all that she did for Dominica, will be surely missed. So we want to thank her. We want to say thank you for Dinah, wherever you are in the spirit world. We hope that you're looking down on us, and we hope that we are serving you well by saying thank you for the memories and thank you for the beautiful person that you were. So again, that was a portion of the interview. And if you would like to hear the rest of the interview and see the rest of the video, you can hop on over to Push Past 10 on Facebook, as well as on YouTube. And again, that is PUSHPAST10, Facebook and YouTube, for the rest of the interview. So as always, it was wonderful to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. We look forward to this time every week together as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we are working on. So again, don't forget, your life story is your strength. The struggles that you faced in the past have prepared you for the struggles that you face today. So remember to stay positive, stay engaged, stay active, and stay involved until we meet again next week at the same time. You have yourself a wonderful rest of the week. Take care.